You can hardly turn around these days without hearing someone lecture about how immoral it is that billionaires exist. It's a popular view, but is this just an emotional or ideological reaction? Or does economic theory also show that the existence of billionaires is actually harmful to a nation's economy or its people? Well, that's coming right up on Skeptoid. Head on over to skeptoid.com/store and explore the Skeptoid store where curiosity meets cool. We have books, socks, shirts, hoodies, and more. Check out our slick new Bigfoot design, where the mystery of this legendary cryptid never looked so good. And while you're here, don't forget to grab a Skeptoid USB drive, your portal to all episodes and all our movies, now including the UFO movie They Don't Want You to See. That's not all we have planned. We have a lineup of way more cool stuff coming soon. So head on over, skeptoid.com/store, and snag your swag. This episode is sponsored in part by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You're listening to Skeptoid. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com. Is the existence of billionaires inherently harmful? As the world's billionaires fly into space, disrupt crypto markets with their tweets, and buy comically ridiculous mega yachts, the rest of us often roll our eyes and grumble. And it seems that more and more often we see little meme graphics shared on social media saying how evil billionaires are, or making fun of them or their habits, or of how disconnected from reality they are. I've never seen a positive one. Clearly, most people don't seem to think very much of the ultra-wealthy, and just as ubiquitous as these memes is the popular belief that the existence of billionaires is not just fodder for the comedians, but it's actually harmful to economies, to social justice, to world health, to the environment, and to just about everything else. Today, we're going to dive into the research and find out just what impact billionaires truly do have on the rest of us, if any. A quick internet search for headlines gives us a temperature reading of what readers are hungry for. From The New Republic,
billionaires are eating the economy.
From inequality.org,
billionaires are a sign of economic failure.
From The Washington Post,
young Americans say billionaires do more harm than good, study shows.
From The New York Times,
abolish billionaires.
And from The Atlantic,
cancel billionaires.
Clearly, many people are not fans. When we seek to understand why, it's the subtitle under this last headline that tells a lot. Wealth inequality hurts society. Billionaires are the icons of inequality, and many people place the blame for inequality, or at least some of the blame, squarely on the shoulders of billionaires. So really what we're asking when we wonder if the existence of billionaires is inherently good or bad is whether income inequality is good or bad. Economists usually refer to it as economic inequality, and it's not all that easy to define. There is inequality of income, of wealth, consumption, health, education, opportunity, income mobility, and lots of other metrics. These are often represented with a metric called the Gini coefficient, named for an Italian statistician. Countries with very high economic inequality, like South Africa or Namibia, have a higher Gini coefficient for wealth of around 60. And countries with low inequality, like Slovenia and Czechia, are around 25. The United States is on the high end of the middle at 41. Australia and the United Kingdom are lower at around 34. Decades ago, economic theory held that inequality was actually good for a nation, as a standout wealthy class had lots to invest and drive growth. And it's true that the great barons of yore built huge factories and railroads and industries, employed hundreds of thousands, created cities, and drove growth and opportunity where none had existed before. And today that's still the case, though on a less monumental scale. Think of Elon Musk with his PayPal fortune, and now see how many people work for Tesla Motors and SpaceX. However, over the course of the 20th century, economists' perspectives gradually flipped as more impactful factors began to take over. Today we see economic inequality correlated with all the bad things: crime, poor health, starvation, social and racial problems, poverty, lower life expectancy, etc. The reasons and causes are not always clear, and it's an active area of research among economists. One reason for the 20th century shift seems to be the transition from reliance on physical capital, like machines, to human capital, like skilled professionals. Regardless, suffice it to say that in the 21st century, lower inequality does absolutely correlate with the good things we all want our society to achieve. Nations need to get low Gini coefficients, according to all the data, in order to be most successful. Economic inequality is definitely undesirable. No need for a Skeptoid episode on this one. So, with that established, we can then move on to our main question of interest. Are billionaires the drivers of economic inequality? Clearly they're symbolic of it, but are they a cause? If we got rid of billionaires, would that be what it takes to fix all the correlated problems throughout society? This is a question that a lot of economists have studied. The most influential and often cited paper on this topic from recent years comes from Sutita Bagchi and Jens Feina, and was published in the Journal of Comparative Economics in 2015. What they found was the same thing all the other economists before them had found, and it's that there simply weren't any clear, consistent links between a nation's billionaires and its Gini coefficients. So Bagchi and Sfina did a type of analysis that hadn't really been published before, which was to divide the billionaires into two groups. Now, they had to do this manually, billionaire by billionaire, using the Forbes list of billionaires in every country. The groups were, number one, those who acquired their wealth due to political connections, and number two, everyone else. To some degree, practically every billionaire benefits from political connections. If Jeff Bezos wants to build a new Amazon warehouse somewhere, he snaps his fingers, and politicians from every state trip over each other, offering Amazon the best tax incentives or whatever. However, political connections are not how Bezos acquired his wealth to begin with, which was by selling books online. At the opposite end of the spectrum, we have the huge crowd of Russian oligarch billionaires. Their typical story is that of some modest state employee who worked in the oil sector, upon whom fortune smiled in the 1990s when Russia privatized state assets, turning civil servants and friends of the Kremlin into CEOs of oil companies. Presto, lots of billionaires who did no work to get to where they are, but had the right political connections. Bagchi and Sfina placed billionaires who acquired their wealth politically into one group, and the other group was people who built businesses, inherited their wealth, or obtained it by any other legitimate way.
Are you ready to take your Skeptoid experience to the next level? Head on over to skeptoid.com/gopremium to become a proud member and unlock a world of exclusive benefits. Picture this: ad-free listening and extended versions of every new episode, diving deep into the mysteries and real truth without interruption. Take this opportunity to elevate your journey and join the Skeptoid community today. skeptoid.com/gopremium.
And once they did this, they got a result, a very clear result. When they looked at each country's billionaires as a whole, they found that the more billionaires, the worse was that country's economic growth. But once they separated those billionaires into the two groups, it was only the politically connected wealth inequality that was correlated with lower growth. Politically unconnected wealth inequality had no correlation at all. In plain language, billionaires who owe their wealth to their government connections hurt economies. Billionaires who obtained their wealth on their own do not. They don't help, they don't hurt, they just don't have any clear impact. In a country like the United States that has all kinds of securities laws and oversight, the president can't simply anoint a crony a billionaire by gifting him some state asset. So the U.S. has very few billionaires who obtained their wealth through political connections. As a result, Bagchi and Sfina found that U.S. billionaires have no harmful impact on the economy. But in countries rife with political corruption, like Russia, Indonesia, or India, billionaires have a pronounced detrimental effect. Working billionaires tend to hold their wealth in investments. Corrupt billionaires tend to try and cash it out. Nevertheless, articles with headlines like those listed earlier remain popular, and the memes continue to be shared, claiming that billionaires hurt everyone else. If the data shows that they don't, non-politically connected ones anyway, where's the disconnect? One common misconception is that when one person gets richer, everyone else gets correspondingly poorer. Billionaires are often blamed for having stolen and hoarded the wealth that might otherwise be nicely distributed among the poor. This is not true at all. A nation's economy is not a zero-sum game, which is a system in which there's no net gain among participants. Think of three cavemen gambling with 10 rocks. At the end of the game, there's still going to be 10 rocks. One guy would have them all, and the other guys would have nothing. That's a zero-sum game. But national economies aren't zero-sum games. They don't have only a fixed amount of wealth that people have to scrabble over. Let's say I start a small business making bedazzled ukuleles, and you think it's such a great idea that you invest $10,000 in it in exchange for 10% ownership. That gives the company a valuation on paper of $100,000. Since I own the rest of it, I am now worth $90,000 in stock. Literally, my net worth is $90,000 more than it was yesterday. But the government didn't print $90,000 in new cash, so does that mean that everyone else in town must have just collectively lost $90,000? No, we created new wealth. It's not in cash that I'm spending all over town causing inflation, so it doesn't impact anyone else's wealth. This is a key concept that's frequently misunderstood. Other people creating and accumulating wealth does not reduce the value of your wealth. And when it's virtual wealth, like shares of a company, it doesn't alter the money supply and doesn't contribute to inflation. The vast majority of the wealth owned by most billionaires is on paper. Very little of it is in tangible assets like cash or property. Unequivocally, a billionaire being rich does not mean that his wealth would otherwise be in the pockets of the needy. Another reason the billionaires might not be the problem comes from another recent and influential finding from World Bank economist Martin Ravalian and published in 2012 in the American Economic Review. Ravalian studied 90 developing nations to find out why they weren't undergoing poverty convergence, a prediction that countries will see converging levels of poverty due to a number of effects that are beyond the scope of this episode. Ravalian's findings were complex, but among them was a robust conclusion that it is a country's poverty rate that is the primary driver of its wealth inequality's impact on its economic growth. So again, doing my best to put it into plain language, wealth inequality does hurt a nation's economy, but the problem is the number of poor people, not the number of rich people. To extrapolate from that, stop worrying about the billionaires who don't really have any impact and start worrying more about those at the poverty level. Improving a nation's economy will not be done by canceling billionaires, as The Atlantic so eloquently put it, but by vigorous implementation of programs to give the poorest citizens better opportunities, and a better start. Punishing billionaires might seem emotionally satisfying to some, but the data shows it wouldn't help the people who need help, and it wouldn't help the economy. But then we have those politically connected billionaires who don't do anything much except personally cannibalize their state-gifted companies, leave their employees jobless and worse off than before, and then find janky overseas investments to launder their money out of the country. That particular class could indeed stand a good canceling. And it's nice to know that that's a robust finding from the latest in economic theory, and not just a meme. A great big Skeptoid shout-out to premium members Bill Campbell, G4, Ya Boy Ethan, Christopher St. Clair, and the Lehigh Valley Humanists. Let me give you a shout-out, too. It's easy. Just log into the members portal at skeptoid.com and click Shoutouts and Stories to tell me what you want me to say. Sustainability is a popular theme in science, and the support from these premium members is what pays the bills of our nonprofit and makes Skeptoid sustainable. Please join them by becoming a member for just $5 a month at skeptoid.com and click Go Premium. You're listening to Skeptoid, a listener-supported program. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com.